Possibility of targeting Israeli ships in the Red Sea. The Israeli military kills 8 more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank amid an uptick in violence since the regime began its war on Gaza. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Palestinians in Gaza have been witnessing an unending cycle of bloodshed for 39 consecutive days. Fresh air raids have claimed dozens more civilian lives across the besieged territory. 6 members of a family were killed during an attack on a house in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. That in addition to 30 people killed in another strike in the same place. In the southern city of Khan Yunis, 10 people were killed in a new bombardment. That as the Israeli regime has declared southern Gaza as a safe zone, ordering civilians in the northern parts of the besieged territory to move there. The total fatalities on the Palestinian side now topping 11,200, mostly women and children. Apart from residential buildings, hospitals aren't safe from Israeli strikes either. The Palestinian Health Ministry warning that all hospitals in the Gaza Strip will be dysfunctional within the next 2 days unless they receive urgent medical aid. Now, those medical facilities are in desperate need of life-saving equipment and fuel for their generators. One of the hardest hit is Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. The Israeli military has encircled it with armored vehicles for the past several days under the pretext that Palestinian fighters are present around the hospital. Now, Hamas movement has denied the claim. Another warning of the fuel crisis in Gaza was also issued by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. UNRWA says its operations in Gaza will shut down in the next 2 days due to shortages. A senior Hamas official has rejected Israeli claims that a resistance movement uses hospitals as its basis, calling them naive attempts by Israel to cover up its failures in Gaza. In a press conference in Beirut, Osama Hamdan said that Hamas has a vast network of underground tunnels in Gaza. It doesn't need to use hospital as its command centers. Hamdan, who's a senior Hamas representative in Lebanon, said that Israeli attacks have rendered 25 out of 35 hospitals in Gaza out of service. He vowed that Hamas is on its path to victory, and these crimes and lies cannot save the regime from a resounding defeat. He also held global Palestine solidarity rallies and called for more such protests. The UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs also warned about a dire situation of hospitals in Gaza. Let's take a listen to comments by the head of the office, Andrea Di Domenico.
In Gaza, fighting around Al-Shifa Hospital intensified over the weekend. In Al-Shifa Hospital, critical infrastructure were damaged, including water tanks, oxygen stations, the cardiovascular facility, and the maternity ward. 3 nurses were also reported killed. Many of the people that were in the hospital have fled or tried to flee. Some have remained behind. It's very difficult for us to establish how many are still in the premises. In particular, we call everybody to respect hospitals. IHL specifically protect hospitals and medical personnel. Hospitals must not be made places of warfare. Any military operation around or within hospital must take steps to spare and protect the patients, medical staff, and other civilians, and all feasible precautions must be taken, including the effective warnings, which consider the ability of patients, medical staff, and other civilians to evacuate safely. Lives in Gaza are hanging by a thread due to depleting of fuel and medical supplies. We hear that patients are already dying, and we have been reported a few cases. Also, access to water and food has become more and more difficult for those remaining. And we are trying to figure out better how many have remained behind, but it is, of course, a little bit complicated given the inability of our teams to go in the north of the Gaza Strip.
A member of Israel's war cabinet acknowledges that the regime is rolling out another Nakba, what has forced displacement of Palestinians from north to southern part of Gaza. Avi Dichter says that Israel is implementing, quote, the Gaza Nakba 2023. Nakba is the Arabic word for catastrophe, referring to the inhumane expulsion of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their ancestral homes in 1948. That's when Israel was created by its Western backers in the occupied Palestine. Dichter is the former director of Israel's spy agency, Shin Bet, is now serving as Minister of Agriculture in the regime's far-right cabinet. Now, the Palestinian Authority has condemned as racist comments by the Israeli minister who said it's best for Gaza's residents to go to other countries. The PA's foreign ministry described the comments made by Israeli finance minister as part of the regime's colonial racist plan. Senior member of Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet also had said that a cell with a small area like the Gaza Strip without natural resources and source of livelihood has no chance to exist independently. Betzalel Smotrich also said that the voluntary migration of Palestinians in Gaza is the right humanitarian solution for the besieged Strip. The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, has conducted a series of retaliatory attacks targeting Israeli positions and armored vehicles in the Gaza Strip. The Al-Qassam Brigade says it's targeted a group of Israeli forces in southern Gaza with short-range missiles. It also bombed a building where Israeli troops were stationed, killing one soldier. Several Israeli tanks and armored vehicles were also hit in the west and south. The groups also fired a barrage of rockets at the Israeli city of Ascalon, causing casualties and damage. Now, Rashida Tlaib is a Palestinian-American lawmaker who has for several times called on the U.S. government to stop the Israeli war in Gaza. Just days ago, the House of Representatives, including some of her Democratic colleagues, censured her over comments critical of Israel and in support of Palestine. But during a presser outside of Capitol Hill on Monday, Tlaib stressed her call, slamming Israel's killing of thousands of children in the besieged Palestinian territory.
We will not be intimidated. We will not be silenced. And we will not stop until we save lives. We will continue to demand a ceasefire, demand the immediate delivery of humanitarian aid in Gaza. How many more lives will be enough? How many more children have to be killed? How many more families traumatized and torn apart? There is nothing humanitarian about giving innocent civilians 4-hour break before they are bombed. We are calling for an end to the violence, not a break in the violence. Humanitarian pause is not enough. President Biden, humanitarian pause is not enough. President Biden, I hope you're listening. I'm consistent in telling this over and over again. You must listen to the voices of the majority of Americans who are calling for a ceasefire now. So today, again, please look to the majority of your residents, many of which supported you. They're calling you to do what's right. End the violence. Support a ceasefire now.
Now, more Palestinians falling victim to the Israeli aggression across the occupied West Bank. Regime forces have killed 7 people in a pre-dawn raid on the city of Tul Kerem and also another one on the refugee camp there. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, the people were killed in clashes with Israeli forces and drone strikes. A dozen more were injured with some in critical condition. Regime troopers also fatally shot another man in the Beit Ainun Junction area. There have been reports of clashes in the town of Qalqilya, too. Israel has intensified its bloody attacks on the West Bank. Some 190 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli settlers and forces across the occupied territory since October the 7th. Lebanon's Hezbollah movement keeps targeting Israeli positions along the border areas in support of the resistance in Gaza. In one of the latest attacks, Hezbollah fired rockets at Israeli-occupied Kafr Shuvah Hills in southern Lebanon, causing casualties among Israeli soldiers. The Lebanese resistance movement says it also targeted a group of Israeli soldiers near Al-Marj site, causing some casualties there too. Meantime, the Israeli army said its positions in several areas were targeted with anti-tank missiles and mortar shells launched from Lebanon. Israel has been continuously bombarding what it calls Hezbollah's positions in southern Lebanon in recent days. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says that Yemen will continue its attacks on Israel, raising the possibility of targeting Israeli ships in the Red Sea. Abdul Malik Houthi said that Ansarullah will constantly monitor the movements of Israeli ships, especially in Bab al-Mandab and near Yemeni regional waters. He added that the Yemeni drone units will continue hitting targets inside the occupied territories. The Ansarullah leader said that the U.S. has repeatedly warned Yemen against attacking Israel. Also, strongly rebuked a number of Arab and Muslim nations for standing idle by in the face of the Israeli crimes. and urged them to adopt a clear stance in the face of the genocide taking place in Gaza. All right, now let's begin our special coverage on Palestine. Joining me is our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh. Also with me is Esha Krishnaswamy, journalism, podcaster, and editor. Good to see you, ladies. Let's begin with Mariam in Beirut. We just had this news of Hezbollah taking some more retaliatory action and responding to the Israeli crimes being committed in Gaza. Bring us an update.
Yes, well, we do have some statistics today that was taken from an official Israeli website. Hezbollah has maintained the fact that they cannot really verify the exact numbers of the soldiers killed on the Israeli side, but we do have certain reports that there are 40 Israeli soldiers that have been buried, basically, and have died as a result of the clashes in the north. But we do have also a clear statistics and numbers of those who are being treated in hospitals in the northern area of the occupied Palestinian territories. And that was, of course, the official website of the Israeli Health Ministry. We do know that there are 1,405 Israeli soldiers that are reportedly being treated in several of the health centers and medical centers and hospitals in the northern area. We're talking about Zeev and the Galilee, the Haifa, and the north, basically, in most of those areas. That proves that these soldiers have gotten these wounds and have been, of course, sustained these wounds as a result of Hezbollah's operations. So this means that Hezbollah has hit their targets. And we saw in several of the operations today, there was new footage by Hezbollah. And that is one of the main points of strength for Hezbollah, basically, the documentation of almost every single resistance operation. We can see in the operations how some of the trucks that are moving are being hit directly. The soldiers are moving or hiding behind trees or behind their walls, and still they are hit by Hezbollah's mortars. Now, we did have also today at least four or five new operations, each one of them, of course, different areas. We had the Malkiya, for example. That was an area where Hezbollah destroyed all the devices, everything that was used by the Israelis to collect intelligence. The Israelis were re-establishing, rehabilitating that post specifically. That was targeted again by Hezbollah, basically sending a message to the Israelis that they will not allow any refurbishing of their intelligence capabilities. They also had another area where a gathering of soldiers was also targeted. So basically, Hezbollah has, this is a new strategy, it seems, that where they are targeting direct gatherings of soldiers, any movement of soldiers, even vehicles that are moving in Aaron areas, even if they are technical groups from the Israeli army that are going there for maintenance of some sorts in those posts, in the barracks, they are still being targeted by Hezbollah. Another area which is very significant, it's the area of Yarun and Hunin. That is a place where the Israelis are basically shelling a lot on the other side. And so Hezbollah has made it clear that they will continue with their operations despite the Israeli shelling. We do know now that there are a lot of sounds of explosions. The Israelis continue to shell those villages that are at the border. And what we're looking at right now is also something which is new. Hezbollah is in some cases targeting all the bases or the main points simultaneously at the same time of the day. That is happening a lot, and we can see that clearly. And the Israelis seem to be incapable of finding another target for Hezbollah recently. Mm-hmm. And this is why we see them targeting the groups of journalists as they did yesterday. That seems to be also increasing.
Okay. Thanks for that. Let me now bring in Esha Krishnaswamy from Madison, Connecticut. Esha, good to have you with us. So you just heard another Israeli minister, and you know, they're commenting one after another. One of them last week said, well, why not to just nuke Gaza? And then we had the other one saying they should leave. They got to go to Ireland or deserts. And then the other one saying that the best for them, again, is to leave and find themselves another land. That was what the finance minister said. Now we have the agriculture minister, former Shin Bet, you know, spying agency chief saying that in response to a question that is this our plan, the Israeli plan, are we going to have this Nakba in Gaza? I said, yes, we are implementing that. Already it's Gaza Nakba 2023. Your take on that?
Well, that's not the only disturbing thing. Journalist Seymour Hersh got access to some leaked documents where the Israeli government literally refers to the plan as Plan Leningrad, as in they want to create another. That was a really brutal siege by the Nazis against the city of Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg. And that seems to be their plan, and that's what they're doing. They're cutting off electricity, water, food. And on top of that, it's I think the Israeli defense minister a few weeks ago said that his name is Yoav Gallant. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. He said that Palestinians are animals and that they should just fire. And this was like and if the defense minister says it, that translates as a command to the troops on how to act in Gaza.
Exactly.
So it is definitely their plan. Right now, what I hear is that homes or it's not possible for about 1.7 million of the 2.2 million residents of Gaza to live there anymore because of various destruction of homes and infrastructures. Mm-hmm. On top of it, they bombed all the hospitals. And the only reason you'd want to bomb the hospitals is if you want to deliberately increase the casualties. There's no other excuse for that.
All right. Thank you so much. Maryam Saleh, our correspondent in Beirut, and Ishaq Krishnaswamy, journalist in Madison, Connecticut. Thanks for the contribution. And that's it for this special coverage and news bulletin. Goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Obscuring Israel's responsibility for the death of thousands of Palestinians appears to be official UN policy. A statement after a statement from the organization's agencies and leaders express horror over specific attacks in Gaza and the mounting death toll, but do not mention the Zionist regime. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, says it is beyond devastated that the scores of its employees in Gaza have been killed and injured. But it cannot bring itself to say who harmed them. The UN undermining justice by tiptoeing around the Zionist regime is hardly new, but the stakes in terms of Palestinian lives have never been higher. Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, parroted Israeli government propaganda recently by calling for the end of the use of civilians as human shields. Guterres appears to be giving the Zionist regime a pretext to deliberately target civilians and civilian objects by blurring the distinction between civilian and military targets. By doing so, Guterres is endangering the lives of countless Palestinians in Gaza, being treated and sheltering at hospitals threatened by the Zionist regime in the northern half of Gaza. Late last month, hours before communication networks went down for the first time during the current war, and the Zionist regime intensified its strikes, the Israeli regime military and Benjamin Netanyahu accused Hamas of using Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest, as a command center. Hamas has repeatedly and categorically denied that accusation, and the Zionist regime has not credibly substantiated its claims. On November 5th, Hamas invited Guterres to form an international delegation to visit hospitals in Gaza and refute what it said was Israel's lies and blatant fabrications to justify targeting civilians. The Zionist regime has long accused Hamas of using hospitals in Gaza as human shields in order to sow doubt about the protected status of its civilian targets. Deliberately targeting civilian objects and inflicting high numbers of civilian casualties through the use of overwhelmingly disproportionate force has been the Zionist regime's military doctrine in Gaza and Lebanon since 2006. The failure of international institutions and powerful states to hold the Zionist regime accountable for that past practice has emboldened the Zionist regime to scale up that violence to an unimaginable level in Gaza today. It is unthinkably irresponsible for the UN Secretary General to legitimize Israel's deliberate attacks on civilians. If the Zionist regime makes good on its threats to bomb Al-Shifa Hospital, it could easily double the current appalling death toll in Gaza. There is no justification for such a strike under international law. As Human Rights Watch says, direct attacks against civilian objects such as residential buildings, houses of worship, hospitals, and other medical facilities and schools are prohibited by the laws of war. The presence of armed groups or military forces at what would normally be a civilian object could render it subject to legitimate attack. But where there is doubt about the nature of an object, it must be presumed to be civilian, according to the rights group. The laws of war prohibit indiscriminate attacks in which military targets and civilians or civilian objects are hit without distinction. Human Rights Watch adds that prohibited indiscriminate attacks include area bombardment, which are attacks by artillery or other means that treat as a single military objective a number of clearly separated and distinct military objectives located in an area containing a concentration of civilians and civilian objects. The group adds an attack on an otherwise legitimate military target is prohibited if it would violate the principle of proportionality. Disproportionate attacks are those that may be expected to cause incidental loss of civilian life or damage to civilian objects that would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage anticipated from the attack. So far, the Zionist regime's attacks in Gaza over the past month can be characterized as both indiscriminate and disproportionate. Israel's President Isaac Herzog said that it is an entire nation out there that is responsible for the October 7 attack led by Hamas, implying that everyone in Gaza is a legitimate target. Herzog claimed, "It is not true, this rhetoric about civilians not being aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. They could have risen up." The actions of the Zionist regime's military and statesmen's by its leaders Netanyahu invoked biblical scripture to justify killing even infants make clear that the fabricated regime of Israel has little regard to the protection afforded to civilians under international law. That makes it all the more appalling that the UN should echo the Zionist regime's rationale for blatant breaches of international law. But the world's body leaders appear intent to bend over backwards to please Israel and its powerful protectors. Undoubtedly, Guterres is under a lot of pressure behind the scenes from the Zionist regime's most powerful friends. Recently, the UN had said, rightly so, that the attacks by groups did not happen in a vacuum and that the Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. Guterres added that the grievances of the Palestinian people cannot justify the appalling attacks by armed groups, and those appalling attacks cannot justify the collective punishment of the Palestinian people. The Zionist regime's diplomats to the UN and its politicians threw a temper tantrum after Guterres' remarks as they seek to obscure the October 7th attack's obvious context of decades of occupation, settler colonization of Palestinian land, and 16 years of devastating blockade on Gaza. Gilad Erdan, Israel's ambassador to the UN, called on Guterres to resign. Late last month, Craig Mokiber, the director of the New York office for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, resigned from his post over the world body's failure to adequately respond to the textbook case of genocide in Gaza. In his resignation letter, Mokhebir states that key parts of the UN have surrendered to the power of the US and to fear of Israel lobby. By doing so, UN had abandoned its principles and integrity, he said, at the Palestinians' expense. Guterres' capitulation to genocidal Israel is a stunning example of that shameful abandonment of principle.
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fa. Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different objectives of supplications. Prior to that, we analyzed the different effects for supplications, and we understood that the school of supplication has numerous features in which sublime intentions are set by the absolute cause. And the very first objective, of course, was the fact that in all supplications, we may not find even a single case where the causation is referred to non-God. So, in all these supplications, the absolute cause is God, and nothing can ever take place without His consent. The second objective of the supplications is for the servants to realize that the ones who have brought these supplications, transmitted supplications to us, are those infallible imams, and at the same time that they are infallibles, they are engaging in supplications so intensely that we are wondered, why would they do so? We try to provide different answers to that question, to that humbleness of the infallibles in their supplications. And the third objective is the fact that sometimes the most complicated issues, like the mental and philosophical issues, are dealt with in the supplications. We brought as an example this phrase of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he says, "Bika araftuka wa anta dalaltani ilayk." I have known you, you have guided me to you. "Walawla ant lam adri ma ant." Without you, I will never know what you are. So this means that this is the best kind of reasoning possible. At the same time, that this is a reasoning that the servant needs to recognize God through God. This is an education at the same time, of course. And of course, it is at the very same time praising the Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, you are the kind that can never be identified, that can never be recognized by any other than yourself. So that is why we are sometimes ordered by the Almighty Allah to refer to signs to know Him. But the very highest level possible is the know God, to reach God through Himself and no one else. Imam Hussein alayhi salam refers to one of the secrets of the world, which is to high above the world of reason. أَنْتَ الَّذِي تَعَرَّفْتَ إِلَيَّ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَرَأَيْتُكَ ظَاهِرًا فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. You have made yourself known to me in everything, and I have seen you apparent in everything. And then he says, تَعَرَّفْتَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَا جَهِلَكَ شَيْءٍ. You have made yourself known to everything, and there is nothing that has ignored you.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. Inasmuch as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So from the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it is evident that he has observed the secrets in the entire creation. And he has understood what he himself is. And besides having seen God in everything, he is aware of the awareness of the creatures. That is why, تَعَرَّفْتَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. You have made yourself known to everything. وَمَا جَهِلَكَ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that ignores you. So Imam alayhi salam implicitly is teaching us that if you are from among those who do not recognize God, if you are from among those people who have not understood the different attributes of the Almighty Allah, who do not believe in the Almighty Allah, you are in the levels, in your grades, even lower than the other creatures, than all the creation, even you are lower than the stones in the earth. Oh God, how should we know you? We wish we were at his time to ask him, oh, our Imam, how have you become aware of the stones, mountains, iron, steel in the other world? And how have you got the knowledge to know that these items know God? What we could say, however, is that you are an infallible Imam, and we believe what you say. We believe what you say. We recognize God through you, your words, and your supplications. This is what we are capable of now, and this is what we have been highly recommended to do at this time. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Homeowners in Britain have been warned they still face rising energy bills this winter and will need to redouble their efforts to keep heating costs down over the cold months. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of This Is Money has covered this story and tells us more. A research revealed 3 in 5 over 60s with a household income of £20,000 or less have cut back on heating or powering their homes in order to make ends meet. Age UK said as the cold weather kicks in, 8.9 million or 54% of those over the age of 60 are worried about being able to pay their energy bills this winter. Not all government financial assistance is open to every pensioner, and eligibility criteria often apply, notably for pension credit. One unnamed 72-year-old man, ineligible for pension credit, told Age UK, "I don't know how I'm going to manage this winter." He added, "I've applied for pension credit, but got turned down, and because of this, I'm not eligible for the cost of living payouts this year." He added, "The only extra money I received is a £200 discretionary payment from the council. I do get housing benefit, but it still leaves me £200 short because my rent has increased." Meanwhile, a 67-year-old woman told Age UK, "I'm constantly economising. I wear extra clothes but do find my hands go tingly as I get cold. I don't drive and cannot travel easily due to ill health, and now can't afford taxis to get around or socialise. I try to shop around but cannot keep up with price changes in different shops. Money decisions make everything more stressful." A 79-year-old man told Age UK, "All of this year's state pension rise plus my savings is simply disappearing due to the huge range of price rises and cost of gas and electricity, council tax, home insurance, and the absolutely disgraceful continuing rise in all food prices." He added, "Absolutely everything has increased in price. Millions of pensioners are simply existing or living in fear about the future." The average home currently pays energy bills of £1,834 a year alongside sky-high costs for food, fuel and other essentials. Age UK said 7.3 million people about 44% of those over the age of 60 have already cut back on social and leisure activities amid higher bills for basics like energy and food. It said that 2.6 million people over the age of 60 have cut back on their telephone, internet, and water usage in order to keep costs down. Sky News has also covered the same story and tells us more. Caroline Abrahams, the director of Age UK, a charity organisation, said, "There's a rising concern about how some older people in the United Kingdom will cope when the temperature dips and they need to turn up the heat." She added, "Our new statistics reflect what we are also hearing on the Age UK advice line. Many on low and modest incomes are already fretting over how they're going to keep their heads above water when the winter bills start coming in." She added, "As ever, our biggest worry is that they will be so frightened of being unable to pay that they'll turn their heating down too low through the colder months, if they run it at all, jeopardizing their health." Caroline Abrahams said, "After two tough years of this vicious cost of living crisis, some older people say they're unsure how they get through a third winter, having run down their savings and made all the economies that they can. That's why we're calling on the Chancellor of the Exchequer to announce more financial support for those older people who really need it this winter in his autumn statement, to give them the confidence and wherewithal to stay warm through the chilly weather." Caroline Abrahams, the director of Age UK, added, "Unfortunately, the experts say that energy prices are set to go up in January, dip in April, and remain at high levels for the rest of 2024. There is no certainty that bills will become manageable again in the near future, and this is bound to have a detrimental effect on older people's ability to stay warm and well." Caroline Abrahams said, "Given these forecasts, the British government must go further and do more to protect all the older people whose low and modest incomes place them in a precarious position this year and also next year." In October, Age UK said 4.2 million, or nearly a third of older people in the United Kingdom, had cut back on food and other groceries as stubbornly high costs continue to affect their living standards. Having savings can affect how much people receive in pension credit, but a rainy day fund of up to £10,000 will be disregarded if your income is low and other eligibility criteria is met. Age UK thinks there are between 400,000 to 500,000 households in Britain eligible for pension credit and receiving housing benefit or a council tax reduction, but not claiming for pension credit. Of perhaps even greater concern are the people who remain on a low income but just miss out on meeting the eligibility criteria required for pension credit. Age UK said many will have meagre incomes that take them just above the level to receive pension credit, perhaps because of a small private pension or because the full state pension is set just above the basic pension credit rate. Not only do they miss out on extra weekly income and other discounts associated with claiming pension credit, they will also miss out on the £300 cost of living payment this autumn and the £299 in spring of next year. British newspaper The London Evening Standard has also covered the same story. British homeowners have been warned they still face rising energy bills this winter and will need to redouble their efforts this winter to keep heating costs down over the cold months. The cost of living crisis combined with rocketing gas, oil and electricity costs forcing millions of people to turn the thermostat down or off altogether last winter, which was a relatively mild one. Energy bosses fear a colder than average winter will leave many vulnerable families unable to heat their homes as much as they need to. The co-founder of one firm, smart thermostat maker Tadu, said 4 out of 5 customers turned their heating down last winter. Energy prices have come down from their historic peaks this year following the extraordinary spike that followed Russia's war with Ukraine, but they're expected to stay at elevated levels until the end of 2024. The next resetting of energy cap later this month is forecast to result in a 3.5% rise in tariffs from January, lifting the average energy bill to almost £1,900. Dr. Craig Lowry, principal consultant at Energy Experts Cornwall Insight, said, "Our predictions for 2024 show prices continuing to languish well above pre-pandemic prices, something which is currently forecast to remain the case for the remainder of the decade." Christian Dielman, the smart thermostat maker, Tado's chief product officer and co-founder, said, "Last year's price shocks really focused people's minds about their household bills, and Tado customers told us that that was the main reason they were more careful about managing their energy usage." Christian Dielman added, "This is now a danger this winter that people will be complacent, but energy prices actually remain very high." Meanwhile, the amount of money British households owe their energy suppliers jumped to a record £2.6 billion this summer due to the surging wholesale prices and the rising cost of living. With the increase in bad debt levels expected to continue, regulator Ofgem said recently it's considering adding a one-time adjustment to the April energy price cap to reduce the risk of suppliers going bust or leaving the market as a result of unrecoverable debt. Proposals under consideration would add an average of £17 to all bills. Claire Moriarty, chief executive of Citizens Advice, said, "Worryingly, more households are running up energy debts during the warmer months, with some having to borrow money to try and keep the lights on." She added, "An increase in the price cap to pay for higher debts will make people's bills even more unaffordable." This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. You, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. My roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since some of thee inside my aching heart, some of thee inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel intensifies its attacks on Gaza south, despite ordering civilians in northern Gaza to flee to what it calls the southern safe zone. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says if Yemen will continue its attacks on Israel, raising the possibility of targeting Israeli ships in the Red Sea. The Israeli